Got that third out one?
Okay. Were you just on the wrong page? Were you just on the wrong page? How did your word problem homework go? Were you able to do them for the most part? Good. It's very helpful when the word problems that you do are very parallel to ones you've already learned, because then you can just kind of look back. And everybody needs a foundation in word problems to build from a little bit, and that's what we were working on with y'all yesterday. I could create one that's weird and different, and you can look at it and be like, oh, I have no idea, I've never seen that before. But you need to do so many to put in those miles, and just, okay, this is just like one I did. Okay, this is just like one I did. So, we talked about on Tuesday that there's four different ways that we're learning to solve a system. What are they?
Graphing,
substitution, elimination, and number four is matrices. Or we're using a matrix. So today we're going to learn is matrix 101. We're going to learn about what a matrix is a little bit and do a little bit of stuff with the matrix. And then we also will be working with matrices on Monday and also on Tuesday. So this course has like 3 days of matrix operations and matrix stuff built into it. Today is sort of intro day. So we're going to not be using your notes at all in there, so just have some paper out and ready to go. These notes right now are coming from Roxwald 6.3. We're going to talk for a minute before we get to the matrix stuff about linear equations in three variables. So we've only been exclusively working with sort of X and Y, two variables, A and B, X and Y, hot dogs and cottage cheese, two variables going on. But that whole methodology extends out to more than two variables. So, for example, what do you see as our new variable? Z. So Z is our new variable. So this equation has three variables in it, and therefore we need three equations to make the system up. So I'm going to write them down. So X minus 2Y minus 3Z equals 1, and 4X minus Y plus Z equals 10. And you are now looking at your first system of linear equations in three variables, because we've now added the Z. When you add the third variable, you now must have three things. So, okay. So just like Tuesday, one of the first questions I'm going to ask you is something like this. Is 5, 2, 2 a solution? This is not called an ordered pair. It's called an ordered triple. So it's called an ordered triple. And guess what the first one is, what variable that would be? X, comma, Y, comma, Z. So the order is as important. It's an ordered triple. So the first variable is always your X, your Y, and Z. So if I ask you a question, is this a solution? How do you think you check it? What do? Plug it in. Plug it into all three, right? But we're going to do it one at a time. So you're going to plug in 5, 2, 2 into that first equation, and you're going to see if what you do, you get 10 out of it. So you're taking what you learned in the smaller system of X and Y, and it's just kind of applying it to the same thing, only it's got one more variable in it. So let's take a look. So it's 2 times 5 minus 3 times 2 plus 3 times 2 equal to 10. And you can do that on your calculator. We can just kind of do it. 10 minus 6 plus 6. And so you do get 10 equals 10. And so it checks in equation number one. So good. So far, so good. Now what do we do? Yeah, move down to equation number two and see if it checks in equation number two. So that would say 5 minus 2 times 2 minus 3 times 2. Is that equal to 1? That's sort of my question mark at the moment. So oftentimes when we're checking, we sort of put a question mark above the equal to sign because that shows us just giving it a check to see if it actually works. Left side equals right side. So this would be 5 minus 4 minus 6. Uh-oh, now we're in trouble, right? Because that does not equal 1. That equals whatever that equals, so it's not 1. So it's negative 5. So this is a no. Do we need to go any further? No, because the minute it doesn't check in the second one, we're done. And our overall answer is going to be no. So the question is this a solution to this system right here? Your answer is going to be no, because it did not check in the second one. The minute you hit a no, double check your arithmetic and then say no. Okay. Try this one. I want to know if this is a solution. So 2, negative 1, 1. Same system. So I'm going to give you a minute to work on that and see what you get. That's easy. I got it checking in the first one because 10 equals 10. Of course, you have to pay attention to your sign number stuff again and make sure you're doing everybody right when you plug in negatives into things that are negative out in front of them, they flip to positive, because you could really quickly get the wrong answer. Plugging in the second one, let's see, 2, so that was a yes. 2 minus 2 times negative 1 minus 3 times 1, is that equal to 1? So that's 2 plus 2, which is 4 minus, oh, it does equal 1. So we're doing well so far. It's checked in the first two, but you're not done yet. You have to go ahead and plug it in the third one. It has to be yes for all three in order to be a solution. So that would be, that one's a yes. So now we're ready for equation number three. 4 times 2 minus negative 1 plus 1. Is that equal to 10? So 8 plus 1 plus 1 does equal 10. And so I got it checking in all three. And so your answer is yes, that is the solution. I hope you see the similarities of what we did on Tuesday checking a point. You just plug it into both and make sure it's true for both. We just have three variables, so there's going to be an X, Y, and a Z. All right, so let's talk for a minute about the visual representation of what this means. You know when it's X and Y, it's two lines that cross. Remember we talked about two lines that cross at a point, or they're parallel, so they never intersect, or they're the same line. We kind of have to have the same thing going on here. But when you have three variables, X, Y, and Z, that now describes a plane. A plane is like a sheet of paper, like a plane. But so each one of those is a plane. And the easiest way for me to show you what that solution is like the front board of the plane, the front wall of the plane, and that wall over there is a plane, and the ceiling is a plane, right? So there's three different planes in this room right here. If you look at the corner right there, that's where they intersect. So we're finding that point in the corner that is on all three planes. Does that make sense? Okay. Is it possible that all three planes are on top of each other? And therefore, if the answer is where they intersect, and if I had a third hand that represent a third plane, they never intersect, right? And so we can still get no solution on these guys, because maybe the planes never intersect. So you can get no solution, just like we could with a system, two by, a XY system.
And what was the other weird special case? That inflammation solutions, right? Like they could all, there could be lots and lots and lots of solutions. And the easiest way for me to talk about that is if you think about like a book, each page of a book. So pretend you have three pages in a book. The binding, they could all intersect at a binding in a line. So there'd be lots of points where they intersect if three things come together in a line. And there's probably a better picture in your book that I can take like this. That's like the, those are the three planes right there that are intersecting in that line. So that's kind of the inflammation solution, that's the no solution, and that's the typical corner of the room solution that we're going to get. So remember, we talked about 90% of the time you get an answer, but like 5% of the time you get that weird special case, and the other 5% of the time you get that weird special case. So you have to be aware that they're out there. And, but most of the time you're just trying to find that point in the middle, or the point in the cross. Is everybody okay with that visualization of it? I can't draw 3D very well, so I can't do that. Okay, so that's a little mini lecture on linear equations and three variables. And can you check a point? That's skill number one. If I give you a system and I give you a potential solution and I ask you, is this a solution? You can arithmetic-wise figure out and give me the correct answer, yes or no. That will be on your homework. That will be on your quiz on Friday tomorrow. There will also be one of those in the written part of your homework. So that shouldn't be too difficult. Any questions on that part? Okay. So now we're moving to 6.4. So this is going to matrix 101 stuff. So one of the first directions might say write the system. With an augmented matrix. Okay, so you see that direction says. Augmented means with an answer row. And so we're going to practice, learn how to do that. So, skill number one. And oftentimes when I write systems on the board, I don't put the brace over here, but they normally would have that in the book. We're going to scale back to just a 2 by, like x, y, just so we can practice more. Everything that we do with x, y applies with x, y, z also. So a matrix looks like this. It starts with a bracket, sort of a big bracket. And we're going to rewrite this first equation right here and put it into a matrix, which basically means you're only bringing the coefficients over. So it's going to have a 3, and then leave a space. It's going to have a negative 2, and then leave a space, and it's going to have a 4. So we brought over the 3, is that 3? The negative 2, is that negative 2? The 4, is that 4? So do the same thing down below for the second one. And everyone should have written negative 7, 2, and 1. It ends in another bracket. And then you put a vertical line right here. Okay. So, to show you what each thing represents, the first column is your x's, right? What's the second column? Your y's. And then over here are your constants, or just the answers that you had. So the answers are basically to the right of the vertical line. So this is a matrix. The matrix has no variables in it like this anymore. It just has the coefficients in it like that. Okay, so matrix have dimensions. So it always goes row times column And we actually use the word, like the letter X in there when we're describing the dimensions of a matrix. So rows go this way and columns go this way. So if I said to you, hey, what's the dimensions of this matrix right here? You would say it has two rows. So this is a 2. By, and how many columns do you see?
3.
So the dimensions of this matrix are 2 by 3. And we're going to do a lot of 2 by 3s. So 3 columns. Column 1, column 2, column 3. So 2 rows, 3 columns. Okay. So we're going to practice this again. I'm going to give you a system, and I want you to do the following. I want you to take the system, I want you to put it in a matrix, and then I want you to state the dimensions of the matrix. And here's your system. So there's your system. Can you write it in an augmented matrix? And then state the dimensions of the matrix. The first row seemed pretty straightforward. I got 2, 3, -1, 0. Do you agree with your first row? Does it look like that? All right. Sometimes in your system, somebody's missing. So we have a missing term right here. Do you agree? What number did you put there in your matrix?
0.
0. So there must be a number there. Don't leave it blank. Put a 0 there. So we're learning that. I'm helping you learn that right now. So 0, 3, 1, -1. The idea about ghost 1 and ghost negative 1 is pretty important because that's how you get this -1 and 1. And then the last row is going to be -1, 2, 1, -4. Everybody okay to do that? Okay? What are the dimensions of this matrix? How many rows does it have?
3.
How many columns?
4.
Perfect. So this is a 3 by 4. Okay. Do you feel like you could do that for any matrix I give you? Could you take it out of the system, put it into a matrix? Pretty much exclusively in here, we deal with that size and that size. Just those sizes for the most part for what we're going to be doing. Okay. So here's the next direction set. Rewrite the matrix as a linear system. So now I'm giving you the matrix, and I want you to pull it out of the matrix and write the system over here that would represent. Remembering the first column is your X's, then your Y's, then your Z's. This bar is basically your equal to sign. So looking at the first row, I'm not going to write the ghost 1 in there, so I'm just going to write x. So x plus 3y plus 6z equals 1. Is that what y'all wrote? Point out the matrix. I'm also not going to write like 0x. I'm just not even going to put anything in that spot, so that spot's going to be basically blank. I am going to write y, like y, and I'm going to put it underneath the y. So y minus 2z equals 3. Is that what you wrote for your second row? And then your last row would just be, I'm not going to write anything for the x's or y's, so you're just going to write z equals negative 9. Okay, is that what you got? If you put 0x's and stuff like that, just don't do it next time. Just leave them, so that's what it looks like. All right, so I think now hopefully you can put a system into a matrix. You could take a matrix out of a system, like put it back into a linear system. So this is called the matrix version. This is the linear system version where it's got those variables in there. And you can take the dimensions. This is also a 3x4. Okay, any questions on that so far? Okay, good. Okay, so matrices have some very specific vocabulary words, like that word augmented matrix. Augmented means it has the answers over here. So another kind of weird matrix lingo is that you're going to see is the wording row echelon, the pronunciation is echelon, row echelon form. Your matrix might be in row echelon form. And we're going to discuss what that means right now. So row echelon form has two criteria to be met. One's down the main diagonal. And we'll talk about these in a second. I'm just going to write them down. And zero's below the main diagonal. So your matrix is in row echelon form if these two criteria have been met. The main diagonal, I'm going to circle in black so that you know what I'm talking about. This is the main diagonal. Starting in the upper left, going down to the lower right, right here. And so I'm just going to draw that circle right there so you see that represents that, the main diagonal. Does this one meet the criteria? Is the number 1 in the every number down that main diagonal? Yeah. If that had been like a 2 or a 4, it wouldn't be in row echelon form. But they're all 1s going down there. Zeros below the main diagonal, I'll circle in blue. We're talking about these positions right here. So do you have a 0, 0, 0 on this one? Are they all the number 0? Yes. So that matrix, the first one I gave you right there, is in row echelon form. If the question is, hey, is that matrix in row echelon form? The answer would be yes. Because it's got zeros down the main diagonal and ones underneath it. Or ones down the main diagonal, zeros underneath it. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. If these criteria are met, we can solve it, because remember our goal is now to solve it. Like, we want to be able to solve it ourselves, not check somebody else's point. It's great to check somebody else's point and go, oh yeah, 2, 1, 1 works, negative 2, 1, 3 doesn't work. But we want to be able to solve it ourselves and tell what that triple is that is the answer. So if this criteria are met, we can solve the system by using, it's called back substitution. And that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time working on right now, is what is back substitution? What does that mean? And you'll be just whipping that out tomorrow. You're like, oh, we're just going to solve it by back substitution. Or Monday, oh, we're just going to do it by back substitution. You'll get what that word means once you practice it. Okay, so we are going to practice it with this matrix right here because we've already decided that this matrix is in row echelon form. So we should be able to solve it by the technique called back substitution. And so if your matrix is in row echelon form, the first thing you want to do is pull it out and rewrite it. So that would be step number one. So mine's kind of way up there and I can't show it all at one time, so I'm just going to rewrite it down here. So I'm just rewriting it. You do not have to if you don't want to. So there's the system that we were talking about, y minus 2z equals 3, and z equals negative 9. Okay, so that's the same one that you have up top. All right, so remember over here, your goal is that your answer is a x, y, z triple, right? Because it's got three variables to it, so we're trying to get that triple that solves it. Well, we already know one of them. Which one do we know, starting at the bottom?
Z
is negative 9. So go to the Z position and put negative 9 because the third row tells us Z is negative 9. So Z equals negative 9. So starting at the bottom, we work our way up. So if Z is negative 9, do you get that we can now figure out what Y is? What would we do? Replace that Z with negative 9. And then you can figure out what y is. So we're subbing in, we're back substituting up the z value of negative 9. So I'm going to write that down. So let's see, we know for a fact that z equals negative 9. And so now I'm going to figure out what y is. So y minus 2 times negative 9 equals 3. So I back substitute that negative 9 into the equation above it. So now I have y plus 18 equals 3. And therefore, our y value must be negative 15. And you got it. You got the middle one. So we don't get the answer in x, y, z order. We get the answer in z, y, x order. Because we're back switching up. So we always know the third variable first. Z would be the one to find. So if you know what z is and you know what y is, you can now figure out what x is, right? Which equation do you have to go to? The top one. Yeah. So x plus 3 times negative 15 plus 6 times negative 9 is supposed to equal 1. So x minus 45 minus 54 equals 1. X minus 99 equals 1. I got the x value to be 100. Oops, I wrote 1100. I meant to say 100. And you did it. You got the solutions from back substituting. How do you feel about that? I'm going to give you one. So next example. So, part A. Rewrite as a linear system. Part B, solve by back substitution. So take a few minutes to work on that. Raise your hand if you have done this before. Oh, a couple people have done matrix stuff before. You remember not liking it? I think when you look at the page, it's a little intimidating. When you look at the page in the Roxwell book, it's like, oh God, look at all that stuff. It looks very kind of intimidating, but now you have a little more understanding what those matrices mean. And it's just sometimes easier to not have the variables attached. All right, so I'm going to start working on the A answer. In order to get full credit, you would have this written down. X minus 2y minus z equals 0 for the first equation. And then y minus 3z equals 1 for the second equation. And z equals 2 for the third equation. Did you do that? Is that what you got? Perfect. Okay, solve by back substitution. Well, I know my answer is a triple. And so I already know now that z is 2. So z is 2 from right at the bottom. And we go bottom up to get the answer. So next we're going to figure out what y is. So y minus 3 times 2 equals 1. So y minus 6 equals 1. I got y equals 7. So the y is 7. And now we're going to back sub both of these into the first equation to figure out what x is. So x minus 2 times 7 minus 2 equals 0. X minus 14 minus 2 equals 0. X equals 16. Is that what you got for the x-coordinate? Excellent. If you got 16, 7, 2, you're pretty good at knowing what we just learned today. You can state your answer this way. It wouldn't be wrong to have this also, like x equals 16, y equals 7, and z equals 2. As long as you say, like, who is who, we're good with that. But the answer's going to give it as that triple like that. Okay. Now that you've done sort of that one, same direction set for this problem right here. So, same direction set. Rewrite as a system of linear equations. Solve by back substitution. It's smaller, right? This is the smaller version. What variables are we going to be using only? X and Y. Yeah. X and Y. And hopefully that's what you wrote. And so to solve it, our answer is not going to be a triple. It's just going to be an ordered pair, just 2. And so we now know that y is negative 2, right? Because that's y is negative 2. When you only back substitute up one time. So x is going to equal, let's see, 0.5 times negative 2. So that's negative 1. So I got x equals 1. And so you get 1, negative 2. We're appreciating the beauty of the simplistic one. It's only x and y. But I actually gave you the harder one to start, that x, y, z. Generally speaking, we would not solve
like a 2x2, like a matrix that's just x and y, we would not solve the system. You do substitute elimination. They're the easier methods. There's not any real point to put in a matrix and play around with it. But if you can do it with a smaller one, that extends out the exact same stuff that you would do for a bigger one. So because you're in a 13-14 class, not a 14-14 class, we're going to maneuver around these little guys quite a bit and not worry so much about the bigger one. So just kind of throwing that out there.
Okay, any questions on this? Do you feel like you could do that in your homework? Okay. All right, so I want to talk about this one for a minute. Let's say you have this. 1, -5, 6. 0, 0, 1. So we're on to sort of special cases now at the moment. All right, so if we were to pull that out, we would have, the first one's no big deal, we would have x minus 5y equals 6. That looks pretty typical. But this is literally saying like 0x plus 0y equals 1, right? Which is saying 0 equals 1, right? That's a pretty big red flag alarm thing right there. Because what's the answer when you get 0 equals 1 or 0 equals 5?
Error.
Error. But what's the correct answer?
No solution.
So even a matrix can have no solutions because a matrix represents a system of equations. And that's going to happen the minute you get like this row of zeros to the left of the vertical line with any number but 0 on the right-hand side. We'll get to 0 and 1 in a minute. So this matrix has no solution. I knew it the minute I saw that row right there because of those two zeros equaling a 1 on the right-hand side. A bigger example of that would be this matrix. Let's see. 1, 3, 6, 7. I'm just making up. I don't care what I'm making up. Dave, do you think I should show like it, that it could occur in the middle, or does it always kind of occur on the bottom? The row of zeros with a number could be in the middle, right?
Well, I would do a row exchange.
So put it at the bottom just for sure. Okay. So let's say here you have 0, 1, 6, 4. Everything's looking good. And then all of a sudden, the third row, you have 0, 0, 0. And give me a number. The only number it cannot be is 0, because that's going to be the other weird special case.
3, 8,
whatever you want to pick. You're going to look at that matrix and you're going to say the answer is no solution. Because of this row of zeros right here and that non-zero number right there. No solution. So 1 was not the particular thing, nor was the number 8. It was the not 0, basically. Any questions on that? Does that make sense why that is? That's the matrix interpretation of sort of all the variables dropping away. And what does that mean about these, what would have been the original three things that one of them was parallel in there somewhere and doesn't touch? So that's how the notes, remember, these are describe a plane. So something's parallel to somebody else and doesn't touch. Yes, the solution has to work for all of them. It can't just work for the two that might meet somewhere. The third one has to also meet. It has to meet like in the corner of the room. Okay, that? Okay. So I guess probably the most challenging thing of the day is going to be the next one, the other weird special case. So, and that's kind of the last major topic of the day. How do we describe the infinitely many one? So we sort of know how to do it already in a 2x2, so we'll start with that. Let's say you had this. 1, 6, 3, 0, 0, 0. Now that's a completely different story when you have a zero there. So let's pull it out of the matrix and write it as the system. So you would have, let's see, x plus 6y equals 3. And then basically all this one is saying is 0 equals 0, right?
0 equals 0. Which you remember means infinite many solutions, right?
And so we learned how to write that answer, the set of all xy's, such that, and what do you think you're going to write down?
X plus 6y equals 3. That's, before, oftentimes you had three different ones to pick from. I could have picked the first one. I could have picked the second one. I could have picked the one when I maneuvered it into y equals mx plus b form. But in this one, you legit only have one equation that defines all the points that are on the line versus off the line. So you would just put that one down. X plus 6y equals 3. This is the equation that generates all those amply many xy pairs that are solved, because there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of answers. Do you remember that? Okay, so that's not the tricky part, because that's just extension of what we did before. The matrix comes out, looks like this, and then this looks like this. Okay, so now we're going to talk about how to do it in the bigger one. So this is the last sort of major idea of it. So I'm just picking one. So take it out of the matrix and write what you think you should write. At least you can get two rows written down. Should look something like that. Okay. Do you recognize something's up? Because you got that weird row of zeros at the bottom. That means there's infinitely many solutions. So that's the first idea. This is an identity. There's infinitely many solutions. But how do we actually write the solutions is now what we're going to learn how to do. So the solutions are equations that generate all the triples, all the XYZ triples that would meet the criteria to be the solutions. Because there's lots of them. So we can't list them all because there's too many to list. But what we can list, just like we did with the prior example, is equations that would generate those solutions. If we were to plunk in numbers for stuff, it would start cranking them out as many as we wanted. So that's why it's a little weird. It's not going to be like the answer's 2, 3, 7. Just like the answer for this one wasn't points. It was an equation that gives us the xy points. As long as they meet the criteria to be on that line, they would meet the criteria. So we're going to start by saying, what's the easiest? It's like z equals z? Yeah. I can mechanically do it. I don't know that I can explain it super well.
What I would do is I would first solve for x and solve for y in terms of z.
Okay, this one's easy because it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so solve for x. So look at this first equation, where at the moment it says x minus 2z equals negative 3, right?
We don't have x by itself, so how would we solve for x? What would we have to do? How do we get rid of that negative 2z? Add 2z to both sides.
So we're adding 2z, so plus 2z. X equals, it doesn't really matter if you write negative 3 plus 2z, or you could write x equals 2z minus 3, because they're the same thing, and Dave and I look at them and know they're the same thing, so no biggie on that one.
Did we solve for x?
Yes. Now you're going to solve for y. So at the moment, we have y plus 2z equals 1. So we need to get rid of that 2z, basically, by subtracting 2z from both sides. So now we have y equals 1 minus 2z, or you might say y equals negative 2z plus 1, whichever you want to write. They're the same thing to us. Okay, did we do it? Did we solve for x? Did we solve for y? Okay, so we're now ready to write our triple, or what do you want me to say about z equals z?
Yeah, we're trying to get a triple. We're trying to get an x, y, z triple. And it looks like x depends on z, y depends on z, but z also depends on z. Z is equal to z, and so now what's the triple?
So that's the one you have to remember to generate in your head. Like, the z equals z. Z is just whatever the number is. Like, if z is 1, then z is 1. If z is 2, then z is 2. And then you can plug, let's say z was, well, we'll do it in a second. Okay, so let's write the answer, and then we'll see how it works. So here's what your triple is going to look like. In the position of x, you're going to write the recipe 2z minus 3. Because that's when we solve for x. That's what, I'm just picking the second one. In the position of y, you're going to write 1 minus 2z. And in the position of z, you're just going to write z. So the answer looks like this. Kind of interesting, kind of weird. But let's see how that works. All I want is to come up with one triple that solves the system. So I would start with my z-coordinate. And I would say, hey, what happens when z is 0? This is just an example. You wouldn't normally do this. I'm just showing you how this can generate lots of different triples. If z is 0, there would be a 0 here, right? What happens when z is 0 here? 1 minus 0 is 1. What happens if z is 0 in the x-coordinate, in the x-position? 2 times 0 is 0, and 0 minus 3 is negative 3. Well, there's one of the answers that solves it. Negative 3, 1, 0 would solve that original equation. There's infinitely many, so you could play this game all day long, but we're going to do it one more time. What if z is 1? So I'm letting z be 1. What would the y-coordinate be? Well, 1, like 2 times 1 is 2, and 1 minus 2 is negative 1. So that y-coordinate would be negative 1. Let's see, our z is 1 again. So 2 times 1 is 2, and 2 minus 3 is negative 1. Now we've got another solution to that problem. Negative 1, 1, negative 1, negative 1, 1 would be a solution. Do you see how this is a solution generator? It could generate lots of them because there's lots and lots of z's, or infinite z's. And so if you pick a z, then you can plug it in to get the y-coordinate, then you can plug that z in to get the x-coordinate, and then you can have lots and lots of answers. So we look at that and go, oh, all that means is there's infinitely many solutions, and this is the criteria to generate them. I can't just say 2, 5, 7 is an answer, because 2, 5, 7 doesn't fit this criteria right here. When z is 7, you don't get those middle guys. You would not be asked to generate points per se. You're asked to get this, the generator that would give the point. So I think we're going to practice it again.
One more thing I would add. Maybe you're going to say this, but how would you check your work? Well, one way you can check your work is by plugging in 2z minus 3 in your, and 1 minus 2z in z into your system of equations.
So the question is, are these really the solution? Like, is this really a solution? Or is this all bullshit, basically? Like, is this a solution? So the system was right here. Do you remember? That's the system that we were working with at the beginning. So does that, those two solutions right there really, really check?
Well, I mean, actually plug in the expressions.
I was going to plug in, like, negative 3 right here.
I know, but that's... I think it's more compelling to plug in.
Yeah, but we're not at 14:14. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there.
Okay. Right.
We'll set that for another day. I would like to give you another system, though, and see if you can, because every system that looks like this is going to have a different formula generator. Do you agree?
Yeah.
But Z is always going to be Z. That's your starting point. But these are going to be different for every one that you're given, because it depends on what equations are up there. So let's see if we can do another one that's got the weird thing and you can get them.
So when we're answering, like on quiz or test, what would you put as the answer?
That's the answer. Yeah. But I think sometimes if I stopped and just said that's the answer, yeah, I buy it. That's fine. But I was trying to show you how it actually does generate points. Like, it generates infinitely many, because Z can be anything from negative infinity to positive infinity. Because we're describing the binding of a book. Like, that line, every point that's on that line is one of the solutions. So, okay, let's pick another one that's got...
Your answer is less of an answer and more of the rule.
Yeah, your answer is, he says your answer less of an answer and more of the rule that generates all the points. Exactly. That is the exact same thing that's true for this, though. Would you say this is less of an answer and more of a rule?
Yeah,
because it generates all the points. But that one's a lot easier, because all you got to do is whip down and write the equation. So that's not how, like, just write the equation. But in the three XYZ things, it's a little bit trickier. So let's find another one that looks something like that and see if you can do it. Give that a go. Say again? It's the weird special case with all the zeros across the box. So the first thing we want to do is pull it out. Just pull it out of the matrix. This space for the ones. So what did we do first? Solve for X. The X by itself. I'm just going to do it off to the right. So X equals, let's see, I got to subtract that 7Z. So negative 2 minus 7Z. Okay. Then what did we do? Solve for Y, right? Took that Y by itself. So let's see, Y has a minus 2Z attached to it, so I'm going to add 2Z to it. So plus 2Z. So Y equals 2Z plus 3. And what do we say about Z? What does Z equal? Z equals Z. You have your answers. There's your answers. You've got to write them in the triple now. So in the X position, you would write negative 2 minus 7Z. In the Y position, you would write 2Z plus 3. And in the Z position, you would write Z. And you came up with the equations that generate all the numbers that would be true. That one was kind of just like the one we did, right? Slightly different. Okay, I've got one more, and then I'm going to stop and turn. One more that's a weird one like this, and then we'll turn it over. So, the one I want to look at is this one. 1, negative 1, 2, 8, 0, 1, negative 4, 2, 0, 0, 0, 0. This is the challenge problem, because this one's a little bit different than what we've been doing. Thank you.
And generally when I do it, like, I pulled this one out. There it is. Okay, I'm good. I pulled this one out. There, this is good. And I usually just write Z equals Z. Would that be wrong to do? That's not wrong to write Z. But I write Z equals Z right there. The problem in this one, it's got the Y. This is the first one that's had a Y in that position. That's why it's a little bit different having that in there to get the final answer. So, if you solve for X, like we say, we're sticking with our game plan. Our game plan said solve for X. So, X equals, let's see, I've got to add 2Y to both sides, and I've also got to subtract 2Z. Do you agree? So, I've got to add 2Y. So, add 2Y and subtract 2Z, so minus 2Z. So, now I have X equals 8 plus 2Y minus 2Z. That's a little different. Yes?
Where'd you get the 2Y?
Yeah, where'd you get the 2Y?
Oh, it's supposed to be just 1Y. Yeah, I don't know. I dreamed it up. Minus 1Y. Minus 1Y plus 1Y. Got me when I do that sooner. Are we okay with that now? Now it's 8 plus Y minus 2Z. So instead of 2, there's just a 1. Okay, everybody go with that? Yeah. Okay, all right. Trying to make it easier. Alright, so we solve for X, but we kind of have a Y in there at the moment. We'll address that in a minute. Our next game plan said solve for Y, right? So Y equals, let's see, we add 4Z to both sides, so plus 4Z, so 4Z. 2 plus 4Z. And Z equals Z. Alright, did you notice in our prior two that we didn't have any Y's in the answers? We had Z, something with a Z in it, and something else with a Z in it. But if you look back, nobody had a Y in it to go along with it. You can't have a Y in your answer. Everybody's got to be a Z. So, let's go take a look for a minute and see where we falter a little bit. Z still equals Z, so I'm going to jot it down. He's not a problem. The Y coordinate's fine, because Y only has the Z variable in it. Y is 2 plus 4Z, right? So 2 plus 4Z, or 4Z plus 2. Same thing. How can we get rid of this Y right here in the first equation, the first equation so that X only has Z's in it? What do we know that Y is equivalent to? Yeah, substitution, right? We know that Y is the same or equivalent to 2 plus 4Z. So this one has one added step where we have to kind of go and take this 2 plus 4Z and sub it in right here so that the only variable that we have is all in Z's. So X is equal to 8 plus 2 plus 4Z minus 2Z. Notice there's no longer any Y's in it because we subbed out the Y. Combining like terms, let's see, 8 plus 2 is 10. And 4Z minus 2Z is plus 2Z. And we did it. We got the X all in terms of Z's. So 10 plus 2Z is the X coordinate. Because down here in your final answer row, everybody needs to be in terms of Z. We've all agreed that's the way it's going to happen. So Z will always equal Z, and the Y will always have a Z in it. But sometimes that X guy needs that little extra step to get rid of the Y by plugging it back in. And you'll have one of those to practice, but you now have sort of three of them written down. And you can come see me like tomorrow if you have a question on that. I think that's one of the trickier things we probably teach in this course, to be honest with you. Matrix stuff is... tends to be a little trickier, and like it's, I don't know, people think it looks foreign and weird, and like, why is the answer not 2, 3, 7? Because it's not. There's infinitely many points, and that's what generates it. And I don't want, like, if you didn't get this last part, to like just overshadow everything that we did today, because the bulk of what we did today was not too bad, and you know, it's totally doable. And so is this, but you've seen a lot in the last hour about a matrix that some of you have never seen before. And when you flip open your Roxwell homework, and the whole page looks like this, And you're like, what the heck is, you know, that's a pretty scary looking math page to begin with. But the directions that we've done so far, state the dimensions, and I only did a couple, I only did two of them to you, but like, if you're saying the dimensions for something like this, remember it's row by column? So it's got two rows, it's got three columns, and that's why it's a 2x3. This one has one row, that's why there's a 1 there, one row, two columns, that's why it's a 1x2. So we only focused on two sizes today, but if you look, there's lots of them, right? This one has three rows, two columns, so his dimension is 3x2. So you should, you know, I only put two up there, but you should be able to kind of do that when you look at that as you're doing on your homework. I think that's a good place for me to stop for today. I have modified your homework. So you will not be doing the homework that's in the book. You will be doing this homework sheet instead. It's out of Roxwald. It's got everything on there that you need. So once everyone has it, I'll talk about it. So Monday's lecture, we learn how to put a matrix into real Echelon form. But until you play around with a little bit. Okay, so Roxwell 6.3, you'll have one problem to do. Am I a solution? Yes or no? And then you'll have some dimensions, put me in a matrix, take me out of a matrix kind of thing. And then several back substitution problems, including a quirky one of each, like a quirky no solution probably and a quirky inflame main solution one. And then number one, am I a solution? Yes or no? Write me as a matrix and solve using back substitution. So there you go. There's the homework problems that are going to be graded. Any questions on that? Okay. That's due tomorrow. Your quiz tomorrow is going to cover the following stuff we did on Monday. Monday was piecewise functions. And remember, like, the water in the tank going up or going down, like a word problem, something like that. So piecewise functions and a word problem. Interpretation of slope, y-intercept, that kind of stuff. Then there's going to be graphing, substitution, elimination. You must show, like, solve by graphing, solve by substitution, solve by elimination. A couple word problems like you had last night. Notice in a word problem, I don't tell you how to solve it. You can solve it by whatever method you want, whatever the problem lends itself to solve by. So a couple word problems. And then what we did today would look something like this would be very realistic to what you'd be asked tomorrow on a quiz. Am I a solution? Yes or no? Write me as an automatic matrix. Use that substitution to solve me. So like one of each of those. And so I think we counted like 18 problems or whatever, just kind of one of each thing that I said. There's no more than one in anything, so you have to kind of learn how to do it. We will be here early if you want to get started early on that. Dave's always, well, I'll come over at 8:30.
I'll be here.
Yeah, but you won't have it.
Oh,
I'll walk in with it at 8:30. So from anybody that needs help can come at 8 o'clock. We're still meeting in the accelerator every day. Every day after class, there's at least two or three people, sometimes four, sometimes five that go over, either before class or after class. So anybody's welcome to come join that. Some people like to print out their Roxwald homework, so they're not looking in the textbook, so they just print stuff out, 15 copies a day. And Dave's going to talk about homework. How was it?
The homework?
Yeah.
Excellent, except for one thing.
Uh-oh. Ruh-roh.
Yeah. One thing, which almost everybody missed.
Oh, no. Did I not teach it?
I don't know. So, everybody gets T, but they forget that this question is asking for something else.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Uh-huh.
So, remember Sarah and the sister? Okay.
Sarah
and
her sister.
Yeah. And so, you know, remember Sarah leaves like at time zero and is driving the car or running or whatever.
And then the sister leaves 2 hours later. And so virtually everybody sets this thing up correctly.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that because that's a very hard skill to get people to buy into and do.
There was one person who set it up like this and then wrote the equations different.
Okay.
And actually switched the definitions of T without being explicit about it. But but everybody else did it this way. And this is how I would do it. This is the correct way to do it, in my opinion. And so 60T is equal to 70 times T minus 2. And solve, solve, solve. And you get T equal 14. And everybody writes down the answer is T equal 14. Wrong.
Yeah, that's Sarah's time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It says T right
See,
here.
T, it says T right there, and that's Sarah's time. And T minus 2 is the sister's time.
I forgot to mention yesterday. Sometimes where problems are tricky when the variable you solve for is not the final answer. That's this, right? Every other sister problem we did, there were two answers. Like, so hot dogs and sodium was this. Hot dog or sodium and cottage cheese was this. You give two answers on the blank. And so if I asked for both times, everyone would have written 14 and 12. Right? Because it was Sarah's time, was the sister's time. So you would have thought about that a little bit. But this one exclusively just asked for the sister's time.
Yeah, well, you're very kind to take the blame, but I wouldn't blame you. I think you have to read the problem. You've got to read the problem and answer the question that's being asked. And because it's not always going to be possible for us to rehearse with you every possible permutation of these problems.
Did anybody get it right? Yeah. Did some people write 12?
Matilda got it right.
Oh, good for you.
Although I took off a point for you because you didn't write it in the where you're supposed to write
it. I didn't put it on the blank.
You didn't put it on the blank. Everybody else did that. There was one other. I'm cruel about that. That's cruel.
Somebody else got it right?
No, nobody else got it right. There was one other person that got the answer T equal 12, but they had changed the definition of the T's, and there was a conflict there.
That's tricky. But like now that you're aware, right? Awareness is the first battle.
And then one more thing I just want to mention is I think everybody got the numerical answers right here, which I think is really astounding.
Look at how the next 100.
And everybody identified, except for one person, everybody identified hot dogs, 860 milligrams, cottage cheese, 1,000 milligrams. So that's really super. Only one person wrote 860, 1,000. And you've got to, especially when it says here, you know, how much sodium is in the hot dog, how much sodium is in the cottage cheese. You got to identify which number goes with what food item. So good job, you guys. I'm heading back to home.
Now, Sarah, we can have hot dog, cottage cheese, orange juice. Because now we can have a Z variable, right? XYZ, because now we know it can extend out. It sounds like a terrible diet. Very exciting. Very pleased with your progress.
I
wouldn't even think twice about that. Dave, I'm logging us off.
So everyone always says for it. I think the one for this one, I just didn't write them down because we didn't write them down. So I don't know.
You were supposed to redo them.
What happened?
We did it in class, but she was supposed to redo them.
Oh.
That's why I didn't put them in the paper. I have them in the notes class. I mean, the
well, it's not that big a deal in terms of the grade.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few people that didn't write them down, and I took off for everybody who didn't do it.
Okay.
Sorry about
it. It doesn't impact anything in my big picture. It really doesn't.